What is going on, guys? Before we get into today's show, I want to talk to you about our sponsor, Harry's. New year, new you. Maybe you're taking better care of yourself this year. Maybe you're just looking to shave more regularly. Maybe you want to lose a little bit of weight. Maybe the razor, the beard needs to go. I don't know. Hey, but you need to get over to harrys.com/lineup to get it all started. Of course, I've been a Harry's guy for years. Love, love, love their products. Love their razors. Love their shave gel. Love the convenience more than anything. Harry shows up on time. You need it when you need it. You don't have to deal with the drugstore. Listen, I pretty much buy everything online. Why are you not buying high-quality, inexpensive razors online with Harry's? You go over there, okay? You go over there to harrys.com/lineup, and here's what you're going to get. Trial offer, $13 value for free. Just cover the shipping. That's it. Great way to support the show. Great way to get yourself some new shaving equipment. You're going to get the handle. You're going to get the blade cartridges. You're going to get the shave gel. Boom. That's it. Just sign up. That's all they want you to do. They're going to send you stuff for free just for signing up. That's what I'm saying. Right? You just sign up. They're going to send you stuff. Use the promo code. Support the show. Let's go ahead and get into it. What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome on in. Lineup Logic Podcast, daily fantasy podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate upcoming on FanDuel. I'm your host, Sean Kane, and we are coming at you with a massive, massive Wednesday slate, guys. This one is a monster. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 games on Wednesday, which is starting to become par for the course, 10 or more games on these massive Wednesday nights. So a lot to talk about. Tons of studs all over the slate. There's so much going on here. It's bananas. There's going to be some high scores tonight. I'm just going to be very straightforward about this. There's going to be some serious numbers out there tonight. So we got to jump in. We got to break it down, figure out what you want to do in these lineups strategically. There's a lot of decisions that you have to make, figure out how you want to approach this, in cash games. And I think a lot of it has to do with the schedule. Basically, how do you get exposure to what are going to be the best games of the night, and which games do you completely avoid? You know, I can see now there's going to be some traps. you feel it in the air. You feel it in the air. There's just a little something in my bones telling me that there's gonna be a few traps out there, boy. Yeah, it's, I don't know. It just feels weird. It feels like a weird night. There's going to be way too many. I mean, there's way, way too many good options. and then value, there's value. We're waiting on a few injury updates, all that kind of stuff. Hey, before we do that, let's go ahead and take a quick look back at last night, figure out what went right, what went wrong on that little itty-bitty four-game slate that was just, honestly, it was downright depressing. Okay, so looking at last night, of course, we had basically what the reason I say it was depressing is basically just from a basketball perspective. The Miami-Toronto game was actually really good. It came down to the wire. You saw some really good back and forth. You know, it was good, but OKC loses to a shorthanded Portland team. You're going, oh my God, what is wrong with these guys? You had just complete and total meltdowns by Orlando. Like, Alfred Payton doesn't seem to have his job anymore. 23 points from him, but the opposite was really nice. Dennis Smith smashed, which is great. We talked about that. But of course, nobody played Dennis Smith, because why would you play Dennis Smith when you had Shabazz Napier and DeLon Wright? And ultimately, Shabazz and DeLon, it didn't matter, you know, who you rostered. They both went for about 30 points, so it was kind of a null point there. It was very tilting, because you saw a very, very similar roster construction from a lot of people, and you saw everyone had holes in their lineup. So if you had Bismack Biyombo, you had a massive hole. Hello, that was me. If you had Serge Ibaka, you were like, oh my God, things were going so well, Serge. Why did you get ejected? That was me. If you had Elfrid Payton, you know, Spectre was talking about it. Elf killed him last night. So there was a lot of little holes in your lineups, and no one was immune. If you were immune to the holes, if you dodged the holes, Kelly Olynyk was a huge hole. I mean, I know there generated some buzz about him because you saw the usage, you know, potentially jump. It was a rough night, and no one knew really what to do with, you know, with a lot of the off the board plays, and we didn't play him. And no one, you know, if you didn't have Julius Randle or, you know, Lonzo, who were both phenomenal, had phenomenal results, or Goran Dragic, because they weren't plays that we discussed. You were worried about CJ McCollum getting guarded by Paul George. Didn't play him. So, you know, the only real chalk play that went off was Russ. You know, DeMar struggled. But it was an interesting way to think. I think it was an interesting lesson in four game slates. And when, you know, my point here is that when you have a four game slate and you understand that there's going to be very, very high concentrated ownership on a certain, you know, on a few players, it's very, very easy to be different. It's very easy to be different. And I think you should intentionally try to be different, and perhaps, you know, people who were only slightly different last night, if you, for example, had Goran Dragic and Lonzo in your lineups, or if you had Lonzo and Russ in your lineups last night, you know, you really, really had an advantage on the field. And so when you're playing these smaller slates, I think that there are risks to be taken, calculated risks to be taken, because you can see such high concentrations of ownership on what are the most obvious and clear plays. Now, on a larger slate, it's a little bit harder to determine where chalk is going to lie. And we'll try to talk a little bit about that today, but let's take that lesson and think about it for slates that are, you know, four games and below, because I think there's something to be learned there. Moving on to tonight, let's take a look at what we've got from Vegas as far as injuries and rotations as well. All right, let's go ahead and take a look at what Vegas is saying about tonight, as well as some of the injuries and rotation issues that we are seeing out here. We have the beginning of the night is in Indiana. 205 total as Miami comes off the back-to-back in Toronto to take on the Pacers. Now, we're waiting on news about the James Johnson fight. We have to expect the league office will probably suspend them for fighting, at least one game. That's my guess. That's what the natural across the industry assumption is, which means that you're going to see three guys more or less split the front court: Kelly Olynyk, Hassan Whiteside, and Bam Adebayo. And Bam Adebayo was phenomenal last night. 15 and 16 with 5 blocks. Bananas, bananas, bananas. And really, I mean, you have to consider the fact that he's going 50-50 with Whiteside, who basically is trying to earn his way back into the trust circle with Spoelstra. And Olynyk, you know, wasn't necessarily playing that well. And so Adebayo got the minutes over Olynyk. But I think the three of them are probably going to be interchangeable kind of at the four and the five. And Adebayo is athletic enough to play the four. Will you see some Jordan Mickey? Maybe you will. I'm not really sure if you will or not, but there's about 27 minutes plus that are opening up there. So I think there is value in going to the Miami front court, especially against the Pacers in this situation. On the Pacers side of things, you know, Domantas Sabonis is getting a lot more minutes and being really, really efficient, a really, really efficient scorer. So someone to keep an eye on. His price is a little bit too much for me right now. Keep an eye on the Tyler Johnson news. Sorry, that's the one thing on the Miami side. Keep an eye on the Tyler Johnson news. We want to see if he's back in the lineup after that shoulder injury. But that would kind of decrease some of the value in Miami. But if he's out again, then, you know, Wayne Ellington had 35 minutes last night and played well. you know, and could be an interesting way to go here. The Jazz at the Wizards. This one is a 204 total here. Wizards favored by 8 at home. You know, it's very hard to determine what the Jazz rotation really is going to look like. But I will say this. Donovan Mitchell consistently 32 to 35 minutes. Rodney Hood somewhere above 28 minutes coming off the bench. Joe Ingles 28 minutes as well. Tabas Sefolosha. Very hard to project. Derek Favors, probably 28 minutes. So with the exception of Donovan Mitchell, who pretty much plays 35 minutes on a nightly basis, everyone else is right in that 28 to 31 range, I think. Fairly certain about that. Now, against the Wizards at home, full strength, do you like all of these guys? I don't know. There's not a ton that I'm interested in, but I will say my ears did perk up when I saw how well Tyreke Evans played against this Washington team the other day. And that is an interesting spot to go to Donovan Mitchell. I mean, he is 7,200, but the man has been getting pretty much 35 fantasy points every single night. The floor is very, very clear for him. Fantasy point per minute right now. So he is interesting to me in that respect. On the Wizards side of things, not really. You know, it's kind of hard to project who's going to do what. I like the Wizards in big name game. I like the Wizards in big games. Honestly, they are a big game team. They get up for big games. Like, I want them, you know, and against the Cavs. I want them against the Celtics. I want them against, you know, those kinds of games. Those are interesting to me. Mavericks at the Hornets. Mavericks coming off the back-to-back. They will travel to Charlotte. Dennis Smith Jr., 38 fantasy points last night, blew up Wesley Matthews, did exactly what we expected. Harrison Barnes was very disappointing. He had 20 at the half and then only finished the game with 30. That was a real bummer because he seemed to be on a roll. He just couldn't get the shot going in the second half. Other than that, the front court is a mess. I said that yesterday. It's very, very hard to feel confident in the Mavericks front court, and I'm not really comfortable doing that against Charlotte, who actually is rested and has a decent amount of size in their front court. So I'm not touching Dallas's front court. As far as the Hornets go, Kemba is the most reliable source of value here on this team, and I'm definitely comfortable going to him. His price is elevated on FanDuel, but I don't mind it. I think he's in a great spot at home. He's been very, very consistent of late, just flirting with 40 fantasy points. Now, he's above 8K today, so you're going to need over 40 fantasy points for him. But seeing what this Mavericks team allows to the point guard, I think Kemba Walker could very, very comfortably bounce back into that trend, especially considering that they're coming off the back-to-back and traveling overnight to get to Charlotte. So that is an interesting spot. I think Dwight Howard also has rebounding upside. Those are the two Hornets that I'm potentially interested in. Detroit at Brooklyn. This one is a 202 total, which is actually a pretty low total considering. You know, Detroit, an average defensive team. Brooklyn, not the worst defensive team in the world, to be completely honest. Not a good defensive team, but 16th in defensive efficiency. Like, let's give them some credit. This is not the same Brooklyn team that we remember from last year that was just an absolute disaster, aberration. They are halfway decent. On the Detroit side of the ball, we saw Avery Bradley jump back into the lineup and was phenomenal against New Orleans. He took a ton of shots, felt very comfortable. You know, without Reggie Jackson in the lineup, he's clearly a source of scoring in the backcourt for them. So he is going to be the primary source of scoring with Ish Smith and Reggie Bullock, who are, you know, Ish Smith is a great, you know, guy to get to the rim. He handles the ball well, but he is not a pure shooter. You know, Avery Bradley's not a pure shooter, but you understand his role is to shoot, on this team, and Reggie Bullock, not so much. Love this spot for Andre Drummond. I think he's an interesting pivot play. I think that people will probably avoid him just because there's some very good chalk at center tonight. But it's never a bad idea to go to Detroit when they're playing a shorthanded Brooklyn team. And Brooklyn is very, very shorthanded. They're definitely out with Damari Carroll. They are likely going to be without Alan Crabb as well. So No Crabb, no Carroll means that you're going to see pretty big minutes in the backcourt at the two and the three from Caris LeVert and Joe Harris, who are back, for this team. Against Detroit, that makes me a little bit concerned. I mean, you have Avery Bradley and Reggie Bullock, very athletic wing defenders. I think that that's something that I'm going to keep, I don't really trust Caris LeVert. He did take 13 shots. He was very, very consistent before he had that little injury that kept him out for a week. Joe Harris is cheap. I think that he's interesting. He played 32 and 37 minutes in the last two games while they were dealing with that Damari Carroll injury. So he's clearly got the trust of his coach. He's had over 20 fantasy points in the last three, which is nice. And he's only 4K. So I think that you could easily feel comfortable going to Joe Harris to return, at least a reasonable value in this situation. The only other guys that you really can look at, I think, are Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, who's been very good. But this is not an ideal matchup for him, and they'll probably have to play a traditional center against Drummond. And potentially Quincy Acey. This is an interesting, is an interesting name here. He's been getting good run. I mean, 34 minutes in that Toronto game and about 20-plus minutes. So a depleted Brooklyn team might be a good source of value, but a little bit tilting at the same time. I'm not going to go look to too many of these guys, but I'm also not going to ignore them. As far as Spencer Dinwiddie goes, I don't mind it. I don't mind it at all. I mean, he played phenomenally well against Toronto, and I think you could go back there. His price isn't quite the same, though. There was a very, very steep discount on him the other night, which was exactly why you wanted to exploit that, because of the pricing. But yeah, this is being an interesting game. I think there's going to be some you're going to have to probably get exposure to it. Chicago at the Knicks. No total in this one. Waiting to find out if Nico Mirotic is going to play. He is a game time decision with that illness that he was dealing with on Monday night, carrying over here. Of course, if Mirotic sits, then we have to go ahead and consider Bobby Portis. Of course, Knicks front court is pretty solid. That is a concern. But Portis, with the minutes that he's going to get at the $4,900 FanDuel price tag, that's really, really nice. So we'll consider that as well. Denzel Valentine's still in play because of the run that he is getting. And Justin Holiday has a nice matchup here on the wing. Of course, Chris Dunn is probably someone that we're going to want to look at. He had 40 last time out against the Knicks, and it put up a really nice line against them with a number of steals in that game. The Knicks side of things, waiting to see if Michael Beasley will play. That's a big deal. I mean, this could be a really good matchup for Beasley. He's been moved over to the small forward position, which is just a real relief. I love it. Having him at small forward is really nice, especially if he's going to continue the trend of getting about 28-plus minutes and really, really nice usage. Then it's something to consider, because remember, they move Kristaps down to the five, and they put Beasley on the floor, kind of a 4-3 Carmelo situation there with Courtney Lee. So it's something to keep an eye on, the Michael Beasley. Will I roster him? He's not exactly a phenomenal value, but he's someone to keep an eye on, because the Bulls against wings, not necessarily that great, especially if they're going to be potentially shorthanded without Nico Mirotic. You like some Knicks in this situation. Kristaps is one of the better pivot plays on the slate. Not, phenomenally consistent of late, but definitely something to consider. Magic at the Bucks. Magic coming off the back-to-back. They'll fly from Dallas all the way up to Milwaukee. It's 11-point spread. It's 215 total in Milwaukee, but an 11-point spread in favor of the Bucks. Bucks are struggling. Three losses in a row, I think it is. They've been losing through the weekend to two bad losses to Toronto, and then blowout to Indiana. So this is a get right spot for the Bucks, and who better to come to town than the Orlando Magic, who have been struggling themselves. Aaron Gordon came off the bench last night, much to the tilting dismay of many a roster, because that was not even close to announced, but broke a team rule, probably showed up late or something like that. Did not start that game. Played a little bit in the second quarter and then started the second half. So he, I don't think he'll break any rules considering that all they did last night was fly and get to the airport. But you have to continue to look at him as a primary source of usage on this Magic team, because John Simmons came back but did not play well. Only had 3 points, was not clearly, potentially not comfortable. You wonder if he's playing just to give minutes to the team, but he's not healthy. So this Magic team could really, really get blown up in this situation. No doubt about it. I mean, especially considering the Bucks are healthy at full strength here. Malcolm Brogdon is in the starting lineup at the two, running Chris Middleton at the three and Giannis at the four, which is actually probably a very, very interesting strategy. But you may not see Brogdon on the first unit if Matthew Dellavedova doesn't play with the knee tendonitis, which is a possibility, which may mean that you're going to see Tony Snell slide in there and Brogdon will be pushed to second unit point guard duties, which is kind of the role that he was in when Tony Snell was out, or Dellavedova, remember that whole stretch where Dellavedova was out. So he wasn't starting in that stretch. So something to keep an eye on. Will it affect his usage? I don't necessarily know. I think it actually, what it probably does is positively affect the first team's usage with Bledsoe and Middleton and Giannis, letting them have all of the primary usage there against this bad Magic defense. New Orleans at Memphis. This is a 209 total, relatively high total here, and New Orleans favored by one on the road. The big story here is that we are going to have no Anthony Davis. He's likely out. He's doubtful right now with an ankle injury. So boogie, boogie, boogie all night long against Memphis. These two teams played the season opener against each other, and Boogie had 60 against them. Now, the player that I'm really, really interested in is Jrue Holiday, and I think a lot of other people will probably be interested in Rondo. He's in a really, really nice spot. And Etuan Moore been playing really well. I mean, Etuan Moore had a really nice game last time out against the who was it? Against the Pistons, had 31 points across 34 minutes. Really, really played well in that situation. And he's had, you know, I mean, he's kind of the, you know, Malcolm Brogdon clone. Consistent, the minutes are quiet. He's not going to blow up. He has his games where he shoots well, but he's also got a nice floor given his role. So I think Etuan Moore is an interesting option here for sure. No doubt about it. Jrue Holiday though is really, really someone I'm zeroing in on. I think that we can attack this Memphis backcourt for sure. Tyreke Evans will play alongside Andrew Harrison. Andrew Harrison likely returned from his brief injury, which who fucking cares, because Memphis is a train wreck. I don't roster anyone on Memphis except for Tyreke in good spots. And this is a good spot for Tyreke, no doubt about it. I could try to force some Tyreke into my lineups. I could see that happening, but he is priced up, but he is the highest usage, highest, most productive player on this team right now. So definitely someone that I may consider if I can fit him in. Portland at Houston, no line in this one. Why? We're waiting to see what Damian Lillard says. And it feels like maybe they put Damian Lillard on the bench last night, not because it was an injury, but because they had the back-to-back and they knew maybe if they give him one more day of rest, he could come back and play the Houston game. Now they stole that OKC game. So maybe they don't go out and they give Dame another day of rest, you know, just say, okay, let's just see if we can, you know, maybe we'll steal another one, or maybe we'll just split this series. We're down. He said it felt good. So he's got a game time tag now. He worked out on it yesterday. He said it felt good. He told the media, which to me says that he's going to try to play tonight, which is fine. I mean, that's great. And you're going to see a normal Portland roster. It's annoying because Shabazz Napier isn't necessarily the value that he was. And if he doesn't, then Shabazz, fire it up. He was great, and he's been great. CJ McCollum has been really good lately, taking more shots, being more aggressive. and scoring, just straight scoring, almost 30 points last night. I think he did have 30, if I'm remembering. I remember he had 25 at one point in the second half, and I was impressed. I was disappointed that I didn't try to find a way to get him into my lineup. On the Houston side of things, we're going to continue to see the same roster that we've seen. You know, Chris Paul and Eric Gordon being the primary 35-minute guys. Trevor Ariza, Gerald Green kind of doing a Splitsky thing there with, you know, some P.J. Tucker coming off the bench. I am interested in Eric Gordon. I mean, honestly, he got a little bit of a price drop here in this situation. They're coming off of some rest. You know, it tilts me because Portland's backcourt defense is good, and they don't give up a three. And one of the principal things, and I was listening to the Dunked On podcast, great just nerd basketball podcast. If you guys ever, Nate Duncan and Daniel LaRue do just a phenomenal work. It is awesome. If you love the X's and O's, then you will love that show. But they talk about why Portland's defense is so much more efficient. Well, they have kind of, you know, taken a page from like the Tom Thibodeau playbook, eliminate the corner three, eliminate high percentage shots. And just guard against the most high percentage, most deadly, most efficient shots, which are corner threes, and a lot of peripheral stuff, as well as just stuff at the rim, and they will just sell out to protect the rim. And it was, I mean, it's worked. They're top five defensive team, and they, you know, they were flirting with one, and they fell off for a little while, but now they're back into the top five again, and they are a bear to deal with, and I'd be interested to see how the three-point shooters of the Rockets deal with them. I think it's an interesting spot to go to Chris Paul and Eric Gordon, but I think this game could be closer. It's a 9-point spread right now, 213 total in favor of the Rockets, but I'll be interested to watch this game. It could go a million directions, to be completely honest with you. And one of those could be that the Rockets just destroy them. Thunder at the Wolves. This is a 211 total here, and the Wolves are favored by 5 at home. Yep, going to be watching this one. This one's going to be good, interesting. This is a potential matchup preview, 4-5 seed in the West right now. Thunder coming off the back-to-back, and they like the Bucks, just a couple losses here that they've stacked up in a row, and last night's was not good. You know, inefficient play from a lot of their core guys, and, you know, is their defense struggling without Roberson? Maybe, but, you know, at the same time, you basically have to get good performances from your three core starters, you know, and if they don't shoot well, then you don't win, which is why this team is just so fragile, so fragile. But anyway, Terrence Ferguson continues to be in the starting lineup. Meh, not interested really. I mean, I could see you going to him because you have a nice matchup on the wing. He got 30 minutes last night, but only took 2 shots. I could see you going to him, against the Wolves here, and just ride the minutes. But not, I mean, he's part of the problem when it comes to the, you know, the defense. So I don't know that I want to necessarily rely on him after what was not a very good performance last night. He could lose some minutes to Josh Eustace. On the Minnesota side of things, Tyus Jones will continue to start. Jeff Teague is working through the knee injury. There was a questionable tag yesterday. I don't think he's going to play. But what do I know? You know, he's been out for a while. So unless we get some bullish news that says, you know, Jeff Teague went through shoot around type thing, I think it's probably going to be Tyus Jones. And Tyus Jones' defense has been phenomenal. He has one of the best net ratings on this team. If I'm rostering any Wolves, I don't know if I'm rostering any Wolves. I got to be honest with you. I don't really know how to approach this. Maybe Jimmy or Andrew Wiggins, but I think Russ is probably the play here just because from a point per dollar perspective, he continues to be one of the best options out there. Atlanta at the Nuggets. This is a 215 total here, and the Nuggets are favored by 9 points. Yeah, I like I mean, I think you could honestly roster any Nugget that you want and feel comfortable. Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, Wilson Chandler. I love Wilson Chandler tonight. Mason Plumlee has been ridiculously productive. Jokic has been good. Jokic actually might be the one that I stay away from. He got a $1,000 price bump almost. And we know that in blowouts, he's probably going to be the first one to leave the floor. But Gary, well, I think, I do think that this is an interesting bounce back spot for low-owned Will Barton, possibly against this Atlanta defense. It's just really bad. Dwayne Dedman returning for the Hawks, which will be great. I mean, it's they need a rim protector. He'll be back. Who knows how many minutes he'll get. I don't think you can play him, but at the minimum, Atlanta will have some more help in that interior rotation where they have been struggling so badly. So Nuggets, I'm good with almost everybody. No Hawks for me. Clippers, Warriors. Now, this is interesting. Ted Dosich still nursing the foot injury. I don't know if he's going to play. We haven't heard any news. He's questionable. Juwan Evans continues to probably be a very good value, even though the matchup with Golden State is phenomenally lopsided, which is ridiculous. It's a 225 total, but guess what? The Warriors are favored by 17 points. 17 points. What? 17 points. It's bananas. And honest, the weird thing is to me, part of me feels like some of this is going to, this slate is going to come down to this game. Because I think there will be a first half. And then there could be some blowout stuff. But a blowout for the Clippers, they don't have enough bodies. If Teodosic doesn't play, if Austin Rivers doesn't play, if all of these guys don't play, then you have a situation where Juwan Evans and Lou Williams probably keep playing. They don't really have any more bodies. CJ Williams probably keeps playing. Part of me thinks that there is a chance that this game, you know, is a deciding factor in the slate as the last game of the night. And Kevin Durant is back. He's really well priced on DraftKings. He's below 10K. I think he's an interesting choice there. Steph has been unconscious. God. Idiot. Unconscious. He's been unconscionable. He's been unconscious and just shooting the lights out. So he is in play because the Clippers' backcourt defense is really, really bad. But Lou Williams in a game like this, Lou Williams is someone that I'm interested in simply because he is capable of putting up a lot of points. And we just saw this game a couple days ago and he went for 30, but he only played 24 minutes. Why? Because of the blowout. Okay, if he somehow gets 32 minutes, you're talking about a 40-point performance from Lou Williams. You know, DeAndre only played 24 minutes in that game, too. Because, honestly, they don't need him. They don't need him. But, you know, Juwan Evans played 28. He had, you know, this is a hard game to ignore because of the high total. But it's also definitely a blowout risk. So let's go ahead. Let's jump into the player breakdown, figure out who we love. I'm already talking way too much. Who do you love? All right. I'm going to try to go fast here, trying to give you guys the player pool to work with, an idea of, you know, some guys you can go to. Of course, this is not everybody, but this is a good starting point. Of course, at point guard, we have a lot of interesting high-priced options, the first of which, Russell Westbrook, Chris Paul, Steph Curry. But Russ versus Minnesota at 11-1 on draft FanDuel, and why didn't I write down his DraftKings price? I did not write down his DraftKings price for those of you who are saying it to yourself out loud right now. I apologize. 11-4. Thank you. 11-4, 53 per game, 1.49 fantasy points per minute, which is bananas, with 34% usage, 11th ranked DVP. Now, Minnesota's defense is fine. It's average. Their offense puts a lot of pressure, though, on your offense. And we've seen this team in we've seen this Oklahoma City team struggle lately. And so you have to think that Russ continues to be ball dominant, try to, you know, will them out of this. And his price is not, it's not unbelievable. Like 11-1 for the way that he is playing right now, like that's actually pretty good. I mean, you can pretty much, I think, pencil him in for, you know, 50 points here. On the road, doesn't bother me. Back-to-back with Russ, not really an issue. He's not showing any signs of injury or stopping. I think that there's a lot of good reason to just say he is one of the safest plays in NBA DFS. Go to him. Go to him. Go to him. Now, Tyus Jones has been very good. Like I said, he has the highest net rating right now among all starters, partially because of his defense. He plays good defense. Good for this kid. I'm very happy for him. It's cool to see. But I think Russ gets over on that. I don't really have an issue with going to Russell Westbrook in this situation. I like the price. I like the bounce back narrative. I like the competitive game. I think they have played this game 3 times, and I think Russ has had one explosive game, one bad one, and then one middle of the road. But he's averaged 50 against them, I believe. So I have no issues with Russell Westbrook in this situation. I think Chris Paul is going to probably go under-owned, as is Steph. I mean, Steph is probably going to be minusculely owned. And the way he's playing, like, I love Steph Curry. Like, I just love him. I love him as a player. I think I love him. So I try to find, sometimes I try to talk myself into rostering him, even though it's not necessarily plus EV. But I think Chris Paul and Steph Curry go under-owned. Chris Paul specifically at, you know, versus Portland at home, you know, 10-3 on FanDuel, 9-7 on DraftKings. Price is fine. It's not great. I mean, last time he had a cupcake against Chicago, right? I mean, that was a cupcake. They dominated that game exactly the way that they were supposed to. It went exactly how they wanted. They, you know, first half was fine. Build the lead in the third quarter. Finish it off in the fourth. You know, they played very, very well. Everybody was scoring at will. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. He scored 50. 1.32 fantasy points per minute. 42 points on average right now. He's averaging 24% usage. Portland is on the back-to-back, which is nice. But they do have very solid backcourt defense and very solid point guard defense. And like we talked about, they're very good at limiting three-point opportunities. And that is one of the things that I'll be very interested to see what the results of Houston's three-point, you know, barrage. You constantly shoot the three is against this team, you know, because they are good at limiting the three. So I don't think you have to have Chris Paul, and I don't think you have to have Steph versus the Clippers. He's 10-5 on FanDuel, 10-8 on DraftKings. They're not going to roster him, though, with Kevin Durant back. Nobody's going to roster either of these guys. No one's going to roster any Golden State Warriors, period. They're not going to have any Warriors in their lineup because we are so accustomed to having the one guy is out, so the other guy is a chalky, phenomenal value, that once they're all back together, everybody goes, okay, fine, we're done with the Warriors. They're too expensive. It's just, he's averaged 1.42 fantasy points per minute, but with KD in the starting five, as a starting five with Zaza, that Zaza lineup, you know, the core four and then Zaza, he's averaged 1.18 with a 22% usage rate. Now, he is the most efficient fantasy scorer on the team with that number. He doesn't have the highest usage rate, but he is the most efficient. Like, it's actually really funny. He has the third lowest usage rate behind Clay and KD, but he scores the most fantasy points per minute with that starting five. Now, that starting five obviously is a kind of starting five in name only because Zaza will only play about 12 minutes. So you take Zaza off the court and you're going to get Jordan Bell and David West and all that good stuff. And he, you know, the season average is the season average for a reason. 1.42 fantasy points per minute. I do like the matchup. He destroyed the Clippers last time out in a very, very limited time, but destroyed them in his return. They aren't that good against backcourt. Everything is below average. They are in the 20s. And every single metric against the backcourt. So not a bad spot to like Kevin, or excuse me, to like Steph Curry or Kevin Durant. The question is are they going to be worth it if they only play 28 minutes and Golden State goes nuclear here, right? I mean, that's what you worry about. Add shooting guard Victor Oladipo, 9,600 versus Miami. Miami's on a back-to-back. They had a tough game last night, but this team plays really good defense. Like, they really do. I mean, DeMar was 3-for-13 shooting in the first half. And, you know, I mean, that's inefficient DeMar. That's DeMar DeRozan. Like, he is going to be inefficient, especially if you ask him to take a lot of shots. He's going to be really inefficient. But that's a testament to Miami's defense. Like, they are good. They are so that's bolster style of just being up in your grill, constant pressure, trying to force turnovers, slowing down the game. It's not a great matchup, I got to be honest with you. So I think he's an interesting pivot. If you can fit him in at shooting guard, people aren't going to be spending up at shooting guard. I think people like me in the mid-range at shooting guard, maybe try to get a little bit of value out of that position. But it's definitely going to be a place to be different. If you want to be different there, and Oladipo is one way to do it. And he's at home. He's at home. And, you know, he didn't shoot well against Milwaukee, but he didn't have to because they blew that team out. And then he was off the court. At small forward, it's KD. 10-9, 9-5 on DK. Now, I love that price on DK. I think if for some reason you have the ability to fit him in, I think he's unique. I think he's the kind of guy who can maybe push, help you make a nice late night push. At 9-5, though, I mean, 40, you're asking him for over 45, 50 points. You know, on DK, you always want more than 5X, but I think it's interesting. 1.4 fantasy points per minute. He has the highest usage rate amongst all the Golden State starters, 26%+. And this is one of the league's worst teams against a small forward. They were for a while. Now, they fixed it a little bit as far as DVP goes, but they have really struggled with wings. 10 total big games to that 3-4 position. Now, this is a really unique tool, by the way, at fantasy5x5.com, our official analytics partner. Chris just built it in, the big game tool, which shows you when, you know, guys score well above, in a percentage fashion, well above their average performance. We call the big game. And guess who allows the most big games? Cleveland. So they're not on the slate, obviously, but it's interesting. Clippers have allowed plenty of big games to these kind of 3-4s. And we know that Kevin Durant, in a situation when Jordan Bell is in at the 5, he's more of a 4 than he is a 3. It's hard to classify him. You're not really necessarily traditional. He's not a traditional power forward. But you definitely could see a situation where he goes for 50 in his, you know, in 29 minutes. It's not craziness. The concern is the blowout. And then the blowout and the knee injury, you worry that if there is a blowout that he's just going to, Kerr's not going to put him out there for too many more minutes. They're going to let him rest and just say, hey, listen, we got it under control. 28 minutes is enough tonight. That's a concern. That's a concern for all the Golden State starters, but it's a big concern for Kevin Durant, I think, because of the injury tag. But I could talk myself into KD. Giannis versus Orlando. Oh, God. I mean, just say that to yourself. Giannis versus the Magic. This is one of the highest totals. They have one of the highest implied totals on the slate of 114 points. He's 11-7 on FanDuel, 10-7 on DK. I like the price on DK, but that's about standard. You're getting about a $1,000 discount on all the studs on DK these days. So it's not necessarily that steep of a difference. I think he hasn't been playing well lately, and it's hard to ignore the fact that of late he is, you know, underperforming his average by about 5 points, but he's averaged 54 fantasy points on the season. Per game. But in the last five, he's only played, you know, he's only scored about 48 fantasy points per game. So the numbers are still there. 1.4 fantasy points per minute. True usage, you know, the usage rate is 28%. The minutes are there. If this game stays close in some ungodly fashion, form and fashion, I have no idea how it would, because Orlando is just so bad right now. Then he would be fine. But this is the 27th ranked overall defense on a back-to-back going from Dallas to Milwaukee, and they are shorthanded. I mean, the floor is 40, but how high is the ceiling because of blowout? But at the same time, we saw him in 29 minutes the other night go for 57 or 60 fantasy points. So There's the blowout concern with Giannis is kind of null, because this team is just so bad at defense. I don't know. I think he's going to be popular, and I think there's good reason to like him. And if he explodes, I'm going to be really sad. but I may not have him. I may not have him. I may have Russ, and I may have Boogie. And I think the one guy that you're going to, we'll talk about power forward real quick before, is Kristaps. Real quick, I got to mention him. This is an interesting spot. I mean, versus Chicago, Markkanen and Portis, even Meritage, they can't guard this guy. They can't guard. They're all built to be him, but they but they are not him. I think they're 23rd in DVP to the four. The price is solid. There is a, I think there is a form of a firm 40-plus point opportunity for KP in this situation. And he had a really nice game against them just last time out. You know, he struggled in the Washington and that San Antonio game, but then he had a nice bounce back against Dallas, 29 points. Chicago is a team that you can exploit, and Kristaps has a 40-point floor, I think, in this situation. So he's interesting to me just to be different. I don't know if you're going to have the money to get to him, though, because of the rest of the slate. Because one of the guys that you're going to have, I think you're going to have him, is Boogie. And I got to be honest with you. Memphis, fine, sure, okay, good front court defense. They're very good front court defense. I got to be honest with you. It's just they allow the fewest points to the front court, you know, in the league. It's that simple. Measurably the best front court center defense. And it's not necessarily, I think, just Marc Gasol. Marc Gasol's good. I think it's just the combination of the fact that they have a lot of big, athletic, defensive-minded power forwards as well to help double and cover, that kind of thing. So, pain in the ass that he has to go up against Memphis when AD is out, because the usage without AD is just bananas. 38% usage rate with 1.6 fantasy points per minute. It's a 5% usage bump and a 0.2 fantasy points per minute bump. You know, like, the bumps go to Moore, the bumps go to Holiday, the bump goes to Rondo as well. I mean, so you can go to all those guys. And I love Jrue Holiday here. Like, I'm going to definitely have some Jrue Holiday in my lineup. But it's really hard to not be interested in Boogie without AD. And the nice thing is, too, is that he's going to be chalky. And the reason I say that that's nice is because you have security in numbers. You have security in numbers to say, okay, in cash games, flat payout structure, I'm going to ride the wave with Boogie because I know that he has 60-point upside. But I also know that, you know, okay, fine, it could be a 40-point game for him. It's just, you trust that. And when that's a trend, if you're going, remember, there's no reason to trust that in a tournament. But if you are in a flat payout structure, it doesn't matter if you are in 49th place or first. You get the same money. So it's okay to be slightly chalky, and that's a position where I think I'm okay with being a little bit chalky. At the fantasy grout, we're going below 9K here. Kemba Walker versus Dallas, 8,400 on FanDuel. And I just really want this. I really want this one. This one's 79 on DK. He's not as very, very good value on DK. In fact, I think Eric Bledsoe is a much better value on DK. It's 7K. For some reason, Eric Bledsoe versus the Magic is 7K. No idea why. But he is definitely worth rostering. You know, Kemba, not so much. It's 7-9, but 8-4 on DK for him, or on FanDuel. Reasonable. You're asking him for 42 fantasy points. Obviously, he's at home. They're coming off of 2+ days of rest. He's the highest usage, highest scoring player on this team. Listen, and I told you guys the stats yesterday about point guards against Dallas, but listen to these. Last 5 road games for Dallas, they have not allowed less than 29 fantasy points to any point guard. That list includes the following gentlemen: Darren Collison, Rajon Rondo, and Dejounte Murray. I'm not going to say, okay, yes, it also includes Russ, but those three clowns had 29 or 30 or 32 against him in limited minutes. Kemba is just, he's going to be fine. This is a fine, fine cash game floor play. 35+ points. I think that's your floor. And you say, okay, good. I know what I'm getting out of Kemba Walker. The issue is the price. Are you really getting a lot of value from a point per dollar perspective? That I understand. He's not a guy who regularly goes off, you know, and does a 50 burger. He's not going to do it. He just doesn't. He hasn't done it in a long time. The offense doesn't necessarily dictate that. The pace doesn't. He's not going to do a 50 burger. Can he score 30 points? Yes. But 30 point performance for him probably means that he will end up with 45, 48 fantasy points, which is possible. He's done it this year. But so you got to consider whether or not he's your favorite point per dollar value. So I like him, though. I like him. Chris Dunn versus the Knicks. Knicks are still bottom five in the league against the point guard. Dunn has 25% usage and 1.1 fantasy points per minute. He's been phenomenal in the last five. He's averaged over 35 fantasy points in the last span. He had 40 against this team last time out. He had 50 against the fucking Rockets. Against Chris Paul. Chris Paul, all-pro, all-star defender. Chris Dunn played really, really well. He just looks really comfortable right now. I think he's an interesting option if you have the money. He's the kind of guy that, like, you're like, I like the rest of this roster. Oh, Chris Dunn. Yeah, I'm good with Chris Dunn. That's fine. Yeah, and the price is fine. It's not phenomenal. Like, I would love them to be cheaper, but it's fine. Eric Bledsoe, though, seems to be the one outlier value versus Orlando, 8,300 on FanDuel, 7K on DraftKings. Just bananas. Like, Dennis Smith Jr. just went for 38. He's very, listen, Bledsoe is very inconsistent, but a point guard versus Orlando at home, they're off the back-to-back, a guy who can get to the rim like Eric Bledsoe, like, come on, man. Like, 7K is not enough money for him. So I'm good with it. I think on FanDuel, he's a perfectly fine fade because you have almost the same price. If you're paying that price, you probably can get to Kemba, which I prefer Kemba in this situation because he's the highest usage player on his team. You know, you don't have to compete with Giannis and Chris Middleton, who have great matchups. So I think Eric Bledsoe, though, on DraftKings is very interesting. Two more quick names here. Jamal Murray. Yeah. Yes. Okay. I like him against Schroeder at home. He's been playing well. He's getting 30 plus minutes. He's feeling himself. Is he inconsistent? Yeah. But this is a guy who can score 35, 40 fantasy points at relatively low ownership. So I do like Jamal Murray. I think the price is very reasonable at 6,500. I also really obviously like Rondo, and Rondo is kind of going to fall into the value section here below 5,500, but we'll talk a little bit more about him. Moving on to the shooting guard position, you know, there are a lot of interesting 7K options. I will talk quickly about some of these 8K options because I do like Lou Williams and Tyreke Evans. I do like them both. I think that they have nice matchups. If I could somehow figure out how to get me some Tyreke in my lineup, I would 100% do some Tyreke because, listen, this is a smash spot. This is him. I mean, the dude goes for 40 fantasy points in 30 minutes. He's unconscious right now. Like, he has not scored less than 38 fantasy points since the 21st of December. Tell me there's a more consistent fantasy asset out there. I'll listen, but you're going to have a hard time making that argument. If you can figure out how to get him into your lineup, he's very, very interesting. I think he's a 40-point guy. He's very similar to Kemba Walker. He's a 40-point performance right there. You like that floor. If you can find other pieces that you can get value out of, then I think he's an interesting spot. But Jrue Holiday, man, against them is just great. 7,100, he gets a really nice usage boost without AD on the court. We want to attack Memphis in the backcourt. They're 26th in most points allowed to the backcourt. 27th most points allowed to opposing backcourts in the league, not 26th. You know, you may look like back through his game logs and say, well, wait a second, Sean, last time out he had 17 points. It was the first game of the year. AD and Boogie went off, and Holiday didn't really shoot the ball. He's been shooting the ball a lot more, a lot better. I think Jrue Holiday for me is borderline lock on this slate, given his price and the usage bump that he's going to see without Anthony Davis. So I'm interested. Eric Gordon versus Portland, his price dropped. This FanDuel algorithm, by the way, revealed something about itself when he goes from 8K and scores 50 points and then his price drops to 7-1. What did it reveal about itself? It revealed that it's very, very dependent on team defensive efficiency. That's what it is. You're going to see the FD algo probably go to defensive efficiency as well as relying on five-game averages, which they do. It relies on five-game averages, which he had a couple a dud in there at one point, so it changed his overall average. But the Portland's defensive efficiency has been great, and they're very good against backcourt players, but this is a really nice price for a guy who's been playing 35 minutes, has the second highest usage rate on the, you know, behind Chris Paul on the first unit. Three of his last five games have been over 34 fantasy points, and Portland's on the back-to-back. Yeah. I mean, the floor for Eric Gordon is the issue that I have. I love everything else about him as a profile. I think he profiles really, really nicely as a cash game play here. The issue is the floor, and the floor is a problem because it's like a 17, 20-point floor. If he can't shoot, then, you know, he's not... Which is what we're talking about with this Portland team. If he can't really get it done, then you worry. You worry there. I will say, I'm very interested in Don Mitch. Just how consistent he has been lately is just unbelievable to me. He has been so consistent in this last five stretch. I mean, he had a 50 burger against Cleveland, you know, and then 30, 35, 35. They've had a number of days of rest in order to travel. He's got fresh legs. Will Washington have revenge on the mind? Yeah, they will. They got blown out there without John Wall where they were on the road in Utah. But I really like the fact that this kid is getting 35 minutes. We saw this Washington team. We know that they run. We know that sometimes they run. I think that Donovan Mitchell could absolutely have a nice game here at this price point. So I like these 7K guys. Now, the last one that I want to talk about is my boy Gary. Gary Harry versus Atlanta. You attack Atlanta on the wings. We know it. He's got 35-plus minutes in his arsenal. The problem is, of course, if they blow this team out, which they could because Atlanta is just not very good, and I think this is the kind of matchup where Denver thrives because everybody can get it done. It's the second highest total on the slate, though. 28-plus point floor. That's part of his appeal, is that floor, man. Like, he doesn't bust. Like, he doesn't, knock on wood. Of course, not. I fucking said that. I said it. Why did I say it? We saw CJ McCollum go for 40 against him the other night, against this team the other night. I think Gary goes overlooked. He just hasn't been owned very highly of late. I think he's in an interesting spot against Atlanta as someone to consider. At small forward, though, on that same game, give me all the Wilson Chandler. There's just no reason not to play a 5K player who gets 30 minutes on a nightly basis versus one of the worst teams in the league against wings. Period. I don't care that he doesn't shoot that much. I don't care that he doesn't score that much. He does a ton of other stuff. He rebounds. He assists. He plays defense. So Malone keeps him out there. There's no reason not to play him. At 25 fantasy points is not crazy for Wilson Chandler with the way he's been playing. I think he's in a great spot here. I'm interested. And honestly, small forward is a disaster. Small forward is a disaster. Like, you're not playing Jonathan Simmons. You're not playing Harrison Barnes. I mean, you could play Harrison Barnes. Charlotte struggles with Charlotte does struggle with wings. I mean, you could play Harrison Barnes, I guess. You can't play Otto Porter with John Wall back in the lineup. Paul George and Jimmy, okay. You know, don't they kind of cancel each other out 35, 40 points each, which I guess you're okay with Paul George's price. So you go down to Wilson Chandler. And you go up to Giannis. I mean, I think small forward continues to be one of those places where you probably try to find value. It's just one of those places where I regularly try to find value rather than force those guys into my lineup unless I'm paying up for a guy. At power forward, Kelly Olynyk is someone that you're going to have to keep your eye on, because if the James Johnson suspension happens, he's probably going to play 30 minutes, 28 minutes. He didn't play, you know, he didn't play a ton last night, 22 minutes and shot poorly. But everything else before this trend indicates that Olynyk was in a groove. And you love the matchup with Indiana. Terrible, terrible front court defense allows some of the most scoring in the paint, which is part of the reason why I also like Bam Adebayo and Hassan Whiteside. But the advantage of Olynyk is he's not at center. And I think, you know, we're going to see about 30 minutes for all three of those guys. I think they'll rotate that. I mean, there's plenty of minutes to be had between those two positions. You're talking about over 90 minutes for those two positions that they have at the four and the five. So you're going to probably see some different combinations of those three characters. Now, I really love Trey Lyles, and I love what he's been doing lately, and I love the matchup with Atlanta. The floor is just phenomenal. He's basically the Gary Harris version of a power forward. About 30 minutes, about 30 fantasy points every single night. He does it all. He gets the rebounds. He does the assists. He gets a couple steals or blocks here and there every single night. He's 6,400. I don't know how many people are going to find that price point to pay for him. Love that spot. Don't mind two guys at 5'9 as well. Lauri Markkanen and Domantas Sabonis. Both have been very, very effective scorers, showing a floor of about 25 fantasy points of late. If you average up some of their different outcomes, I think that Sabonis is really interesting because he's so efficient in his shooting. He's been shooting over 50% from the floor pretty much every single game, and he's taking Thad Young's job. He's getting all the Thad Young minutes. Like, that's where they're going. He's not coming off the bench anymore, and Miles Turner is struggling to keep minutes too with the way the Sabonis is scoring, and that's part of the reason why they blew Milwaukee out, is because Sabonis had 17 points and 10 rebounds in 23 minutes. Like, that's a dominant performance. So he's in an interesting spot. Miami's front court is much better. I think in general you're going to struggle with their athleticism a little bit more than you will with Milwaukee's, but it's something to keep an eye on. Moving on to the center position, three guys that I'm, well, four really that I'm interested in. It starts with Dwight Howard. I think Dwight is in an interesting position tonight. You know, I don't love the price, but this is a good matchup. Dallas on the back-to-back, they're not a good rebounding team. This is a, you know, 15-point rebounding possibility. We said that about Biombo yesterday. He struggled. Okay, fine. Doesn't matter. Dwight Howard is obviously a starter in this league, and Biombo is obviously a backup in this league. So you trust Howard to possibly get it done here. I think you can also look at Hassan Whiteside. Now, if Whiteside for some reason gets more than 25 minutes, which if there's no James Johnson, you have to think that maybe he does. The problem is that he's been playing himself out of minutes lately. You really, really, really like the opportunity for him to go for 40. I think from a point per dollar perspective, you're interested in that. But you got to fade Boogie. That's the problem, right? You have to fade Boogie to get to any of these guys. Last guy that I'm interested in, Steven Adams versus Cat. Yeah, I mean, Cat has not been a great defender. His price point is very, you know, Adams' minutes have been consistent. His price has been consistent. I think you could see a nice, solid 5X value from Steven Adams out there against Karl Anthony Towns in this one. That's about it for me. That's about it. That's about all I can do. Usually, if we didn't have Boogie with no AD, I would be drooling over this mid-range of centers, because I think there's just a lot of really interesting positions to take. But I can't do it with Boogie and no AD. You're missing a potential 60-point ceiling, and that's hard to miss out on. All right, let's go over to the bargain basement guys who are below 5,500, who you may want to put into your rosters if you need a little bit of savings. Obviously, a point guard, it all starts with Rajon Rondo. Rondo is going to be chalk. He's going to be chalk at 5,300. And listen, he gets a nice usage bump without AD on the floor. He had a really nice game last time out. He's not going to score. We know that. But the backcourt defense for Memphis is not good. And he's just going to distribute. He's going to rebound. He's probably going to get decent minutes. Depending on how he plays, like, they'll keep him in there. It's weird. I don't know when he's gets run, but I don't know what the indicator, I don't know why it is that some nights he gets 20 minutes and some nights he gets 30 minutes. That doesn't make any sense to me. I have no idea, but that's what's happening. I have to think though that with a little bit of usage, the trends indicate the court IQ, everything indicates that he's going to be one of the beneficiaries of Davis off the floor. So, something to keep an eye on. Juwan Evans' price went down. If Tay Dosage is out, right? You have to play a $4,700 point guard who's getting 35 minutes. And listen, he played really, really well. You don't like playing point guards against Steph, but he's going to play a lot. And if Tay Dosage is out, he's going to play a lot. That's a good thing. You want that. Shabazz, obviously, in play. If Dame doesn't play, we'll see what his status is. So those are the point guards that you're keeping an eye on. There's a lot of value there. You're going to have, it's going to be an up to lock type situation where you're finding stuff out and you may not know. So you may just have to go with what you do know, and that's okay. Go with what you know. At shooting guard, Justin Holiday at 5,500 revenge game. You love that. But we've, if we're tracking our revenge game narratives this week, Kevin Love really kind of shit the bed for us there. But he's been consistent. And we know he has a ceiling. He has a 35 plus point ceiling. I think he's an easy guy to feel comfortable with. Rodney Hood, he takes a lot of shots. He just doesn't make a lot of shots recently. there's games where he blows up, but there's some games where he really, really, really struggles. Avery Bradley is the other guy that I'm keeping an eye on. 4,900 versus Brooklyn. Yeah, definitely. And frankly, a Brooklyn team that is banged up, really banged up. And I think, guys, we're going to have more opportunity to go to Wayne Ellington in this situation. Now, 35 minutes last night, 26 fantasy points, pretty nice return point per dollar wise. It's very likely that Tyler Johnson is out. In fact, FanDuel has him tagged as out. He's out. He's out. They're keeping him out. They're worried about that shoulder, which he's had issues with in the past. So that's it at shooting guard. I think you go down. You don't really have to go much past that. I don't think you have to go unless there's news somewhere. At small forward, I already mentioned Wilson Chandler. Yeah, I'm interested in Wilson Chandler. Definitely interested in Wilson Chandler. I don't mind Denzel Valentine either. 4,700. The minutes are there. We know the role is going to be there. He's been solid, perfectly fine. I think Gerald Green is still in play at 4,500. He's been shooting phenomenally. And Joe Harris at 4K. I think Joe Harris is in play at 4K. So all of these guys, are in interesting positions. No doubt about it. And probably will garner decent ownership, to be honest with you. Like, I think people are going to be paying down at small forward. Unless they have Giannis. At power forward below 55, I think it's Al-Farouq Aminu. You're getting 30 cheap minutes for 5,300. Now, with Dame back in the lineup, you're not going to see as much usage, but this is the cheapest starter that you're going to get. Now, Markieff Morris is interesting, and he's been playing a lot more. Like, 30 minutes in the last three games is a big deal for Markieff Morris. Against Utah's front court, I don't know how I feel about that, though. You know what I mean? But 5,100 for Markieff is really interesting. Really, really interesting. Bobby Portis, of course, if Mirotić is out, he is very much in play. And that's about as... Oh, sorry, the one guy, Quincy Acey. Quincy Acey, with this banged-up Brooklyn team, Quincy Acey has been getting some minutes. Now, there is a gaping hole, and it is his floor. Like, he has some really, really bad games on his resume, but he has some perfectly fine games as well. So, I don't know. That's the kind of thing that could completely ruin your night early, to be completely honest with you. Completely destroy your evening. Quincy Acey goes for 4 fantasy points, and you just are like, okay, I'm out. Bye. Fuck everything. Center, I don't know why you would do it. There's enough options, but I think Mason Plumlee is fine at his price. I think he's interesting. But that's it. That's for me. That's it. Yeah. I mean, I guess you could go to one of the Brooklyn guys just because they're going to probably have to play extra minutes. Is it Mozgov or it's Plumlee, I think, right? Plumlee has been playing more at the center for Brooklyn. Let me see if this Zeller has been playing some decent minutes, and he's going to have to play, but fuck that. I don't want to play Tyler Zeller. Do you want to play Tyler Zeller? Do you want to play Jahlil Okafor? Do you want to play Jared Allen? No, you don't want to play any of those guys. All right, let's go over FanDuel. Let's throw together a quick lineup, and I am going to just kind of go through some of the guys that I'm kind of feel like I'm locking in, and there's four of them for me that I'm just saying, okay, I'm good. This is my starting point. And it starts with Russ and Boogie at the top and the bottom, and then it's Wilson Chandler and Drew Holiday. Okay, those are the kind of four guys that I think I'm starting with here, because you have a shit show at small forward, which, by the way, is a reason to not play Russ. Okay, so this is an interesting aside. So let's say I don't play Russ, even though point per dollar wise, consistency wise, he's one of the best fantasy assets in all the history of all mankind. Let's say I don't really want to. I like all the options at point guard. I like the depth there. Then I can go to Giannis at small forward along with Wilson Chandler. And then I have about 5K per player on my team, which is hard. That's not exactly an ideal number. But let's say, for example, Tade Dosich gets ruled out. So you have Juwan Evans at your exposure. So, okay, great. Tade Dosich is out. Juwan Evans. I'm going to go to Juwan Evans. I'm going to go to Rajon Rondo, two cheap point guards. I'm going to go to a cheap shooting guard in Avery Bradley against Brooklyn. Perfectly fine. And then I have about 5K left at power forward. I'm going to be very, very hopeful that maybe... See, and this is where it gets really fucked. I'm going to be hopeful that maybe you get some Mirotić and then it's Bobby Portis, but then I have 4,800 and what am I going to do? Frank Kaminsky? I hate Frank the Tank. Am I going to go Quincy Acey? Oh God, I'm already tilting. This is where you're really in a tough spot. If you try to get Giannis in there, that's tough. So it's a little bit easier to build with. It's a little bit easier to build with Russ because you actually have $600 of flexibility. So let's say I go Russ, Rondo, Holiday, Bradley, Chandler. And then there's more value at the small forward position, which, for example, you can go Joe Harris. So I get a little Joe Harris in my life. And then I have $5,500 per power forward, which, you know, I can do a lot of things here. I can go Trey Lyles and then I can go down, or I could do Derek Favors is interesting. If you get Derek Favors and Derek Favors and Bobby Portis is fine. I think you could do that. Yeah, there's a lot of ways that you can go. But this is Russ, Rondo, Holiday, Bradley, Chandler, Harris, Cousins. Now, with power forward kind of as a question mark. Now, there is also ways to do this a little bit more balanced. Let's say you really like some of these 7K plays. You like some of these 7K shooting guards and point guards. So let's go to Donovan Mitchell at shooting guard. So again, I still have Holiday, Wilson Chandler, Harris, Cousins. I go to Don Mitch right there, 7,200. And then I go to the point guard situation. And maybe I want to get a little bit of, maybe I want a little Jamal Murray. Maybe I want a little bit of Kemba Walker. So I could do Jamal Murray and Kemba Walker. And then I have 5K per power forward. So a little bit more balanced with just Boogie in the lineup may be a good way to go tonight. Depends on how you want to build. You can do two studs. You can do one stud, I think. But you have to decide what you want to do. How much, you know, and then we got to wait for news. If there's a lot of value, if guys are out, if guys get ruled out, they're going to have more value and you're going to have more lineups with two studs in them. But I think that there is an argument to be made for a single stud type lineup and then going to some higher floor type plays just to kind of keep yourself in the mix all night long. But that's it for me, guys. Hey, gonna come back tomorrow, try to get you guys caught. I was trying to get these out. Good night.
good luck. I will see you.